Regardless of what they may want you to think, it's not time to hit the panic button on New Orleans Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. I'll tell you why and get you a little bit of land yap here on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Monday episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. You can find me over on USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. They've got more odds, lines, and props than ever before. Go check them out today. Bet Online, where the game starts. On today's episode, NOLA.com's Luke Johnson joins to talk about the specifics in terms of how important the connection between Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas is going to be, as well as all of the biggest storylines heading into training camp, which kicks off this week. But first, on today's episode, let's speak a little bit and break down the news about wide receiver Michael Thomas and defensive end Marcus Davenport headed to the PUP list ahead of training camp. So Locked On Houdats, I'm here to tell you, this is not the time to hit the panic button on Michael Thomas, and really not the time to hit the panic button on Marcus Davenport either. This is exactly what we've been talking about here on the show for weeks. It's going to be a slow ramp up for Michael Thomas, very likely a slow ramp up for Marcus Davenport as well, who of course had off-season surgery, including part of a pinky amputated at one point. For Michael Thomas and the New Orleans Saints, not time to panic here. I cannot stress that enough. The PUP list, physically unable to perform, is the definition of that. This is basically the list that you get moved into if you're not able to get started for training camp or able to get started for the regular season because of an injury. But those two timelines, very different. If a player goes on that PUP list or physically unable to perform list before training camp, they can come off that list whenever you want them to come off the list. The team can move them off day one, or he could be moved off Wednesday for all we know. We don't know yet. So not time to worry there. If he were to be on the physically unable to perform list at the beginning of the season, then that would guarantee that he would miss about a handful of games. And then if unable to perform after that, would go to season ending injured reserve, which is what happened last year. That's not the case right now. So this is not the time to panic at all about Michael Thomas. The expectation is that he will be cleared, as well as Marcus Davenport, actually early on in camp. So let's wait and see. And as soon as the New Orleans Saints are able to get those guys out on the training camp field, they'll come right off the list, absolutely no qualms about it, and be out there on the practice field. With more on training camp and everything you need to know heading into it, we've got NOLA.com's Luke Johnson here joining us at @ByLukeJohnson on Twitter. We start off talking about that big time connection between Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, and how it aids both of them going into 2022. All right, everybody. It is Luke Johnson at @ByLukeJohnson on Twitter of New Orleans Times Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, coming through NOLA.com, of course. Luke, appreciate you as always taking the time to join the show. We're going to be out at camp here really, really soon. What's going to be the biggest number one thing you're going to be looking forward to day one of New Orleans Saints training camp?
Got to see that Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas connection, right? Are we going to see that on day one? I don't know. I mean, literally, we haven't seen that since I guess they had that one game together against San Francisco.
Yeah, the second half,
2020 season. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to seeing if that's something that we're talking about on day one. We can expect Jameis to be out there, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the last time he was out there, everybody's like, "Oh, he has a little limp. Let's see how far he's advanced."
Oh no, not the limp, Luke. Not the limp.
Well, you know, let's just talk about that real quick.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
That is such a June story. It's like, well, Jameis has a limp. Like, oh no. Like, is he going to be ready for week one? It's like he hasn't even been 7 months since he tore his ACL.
Right.
It's like, give the guy a rest.
Yeah. Let's just be happy we were able to see that he was limping.
A couple months to look that out. I think, yeah, if he's. if a team is cleared to be out there to move around, I'm sure they're fine with where he's at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's put the talk of will he or won't he make the week.
What's more of a June storyline to you, Jameis's limp or Madden ratings?
Madden ratings are a July storyline.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. We're in July now. Dang. All right.
They put those out specifically like in the last week of camp or the last week before camp when everybody's just like hungriest.
Yeah.
All up. They're like, well, like just drop a little bait in the water here, see if they take it. And everybody inevitably does. Like, what do you mean Alvin Kamara is only a 90? It's like, right. Don't they look, I haven't played video games in a long time, but like, don't they update those things?
Oh yeah. Now? Yeah, weekly updates. Weekly updates all the time.
CJ Gardner Johnson's ranked. If he goes out there and balls out for a couple games, he's up to a 92 and everybody's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I hate it. I get the desire to just talk.
Yeah, a lot of fervor, excitement around football for sure. But when it comes to that Jameis and Michael Thomas connection, it's certainly one that we're going to be looking forward to seeing along with some of the other wide receivers, which we'll discuss here in a little bit. But do you think that there's something about Michael Thomas's game that changes with Jameis Winston at all? Do you think that maybe the third level becomes a little bit more present for him, or is he still going to be operating close to the line of scrimmage? Is that just kind of stuff we get to learn over the course of the next couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to have to be something to learn. I think we can assume that maybe it's not going to be so much stuff near the line of scrimmage, even though Michael Thomas is obviously very, very good at those kind of things. It was the last time we saw him on the field. But I mean, you're adding a quarterback into the mix with a bigger arm. And one who likes to take more shots downfield and likes those intermediate depth throws. Mm-hmm. You're adding Jarvis Landry, who I think is going to be definitely eating up a lot of those like short area targets.
Right.
And you're adding another element to that in Chris Olave, who, you know, I think a lot of people are expecting him to kind of take the top off. So all of those elements together, I think, are going to make Michael Thomas look a little bit different. But I think for me right now, it's a little bit too early to say what that's going to look like because I haven't even seen him practice.
Right.
You know? Right. So that's the thing that we're kind of dealing with here is, you know, I think I, for one, am operating under the assumption that Michael Thomas is going to come back and be a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know exactly what that's going to look like.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to be the kind of person who's going to come in and say like, well, you know, last time he was fully healthy, he caught 150 balls. And, you know, he's AP Offensive Player of the Year, and he's, you know, one of the best players in the NFL, period, bar none. He's going to be that again. But, I mean, if you just look at his history as a football player, like Michael Thomas's average season is like 117 catches and like 1,200 yards. Mm-hmm. And touchdown. I mean, that's like an all-pro, right?
Yep.
It's all-pro is his average season. His worst single statistical season was his rookie year, but like 92 passes for like 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. And those three numbers, only 3 players in the entire Saints franchise history have ever put up those 3 numbers in one single year ever. 3 players not named Michael Thomas.
Mm.
Joe Horn, Marcus Colston, and Jimmy Graham, and all those guys did it one time. And that was Michael Thomas's worst season. So I think we can count on him being a very good player. I just don't know what the shape of that is going to be.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because that's sort of the framework that I've been using too in terms of the expectation of the return of Michael Thomas being more akin to what happens if he's as good as he was his rookie season, where he's coming into the NFL, learning the playbook. It's his first year transitioning out of college. He's operating opposite Brandon Cooks at that time as well. And so what happens if the Saints get that guy back? And I think if you're the team and you get that level of production back from 2016, you're still pretty happy with what you get from Michael Thomas. He doesn't have to be 149 catches, 1,700 yards for you to find value in that player.
Yeah, I mean, if they're feeding him 200 targets this year, things have not gone well.
Sure, right, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like let's just be honest here. Those last 3 seasons, I mean, Mike Thomas was great, right? No questions asked. But like, it was Mike Thomas and nobody else. Like Ted Ginn was your number 2,
right?
I love Ted Ginn, but like, he was not a number 2 receiver, and the Saints were asking him to be a number 2 receiver. They were just force feeding Mike. And he's so strong and so physical, he was able to go out and dominate those guys and make plays. But they don't have to do that now.
Yeah.
I mean, they shouldn't. right? If Jameis Winston's just thrown in a double coverage for Michael Thomas on every play because neither Jarvis Landry nor Chris Olave or Marquez Callaway, Traquan Smith, Deontay Hardy, all those guys, if none of those guys can get open, they're forcing the ball to Michael Thomas, things have gone very poorly for the Saints.
Yeah.
So if he's getting 140 targets or 130 targets, something kind of along those 2016 lines, which I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I imagine it's probably somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. I think that means things are going very well for the Saints, and I think they'd be very happy with a 90 catch, 1100 yard season out of Mike Thomas.
Coming up next, we're continuing on with Luke here as we continue through today's episode. We're going to jump over to the rest of the offense, the other skilled position players around Michael Thomas, including the players that will make an immediate impact along with Jameis Winston on the offensive side. We've got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But first, I'm here to tell you about our friends over at Bet Online, your number one source for all of your sports wagering needs. Lots of end-of-year awards up for potential New Orleans Saints. Going into 2022, comeback player of the year has both Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston at the top of that list or near the top of the list in the top three. Chris Olave is second right now, tied with about a field of others when it comes to offensive rookie of the year. But could one of those guys also move into offensive player of the year conversations as well? You can bet on that and much more over at Bet Online. They've also got odds for three of the first four games of the season, all but the Carolina Panthers game after the quarterback change and all that stuff. But you want to take a look at where they're favored in terms of the Atlanta Falcons, what they're looking like at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or in London against the Minnesota Vikings. You can get in on all of that over at Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. We're joined by Luke Johnson at By Luke Johnson on Twitter. I appreciate you as always for making us your first listen of the day every day here on the show. Now we're jumping into the offense, previewing the offense ahead of training camp, which kicks off in earnest on Wednesday. We're also going to have Tuesday night media availability with some of the coaches, things like that. We'll update all of that as we come through. I'll have some sound bites for you on Wednesday's episode before we get started on training camp. Just a reminder, we're looking at doing 2-a-days every day that the Saints have practice for the most part, right? Obviously, I'll have to do some things on radio and stuff like that in between, so that might get in the way. But lots of good stuff coming up for you here on the show. But for right now, continuing on with Luke Johnson, looking over on the offensive side, who's going to make an impact along with Jameis Winston to help turn this New Orleans Saints offense around? Here's Luke to talk about it. All right, y'all, continuing on here with Luke Johnson at By Luke Johnson on Twitter. Luke, as we get ready for training camp here, let's take a wider scope to the offensive side of the ball. What are some of the big question marks that you're hoping that the Saints will be able to answer over the course of training camp?
Well, I'm sure they would love to answer the big question, and that's like, what the hell is going to happen to Alvin Kamara?
Right.
Right.
For sure.
It kind of depends on, well, it really depends on what happens in the legal system. Mm-hmm. I think his court date is scheduled for like early August, first week of training camp, something like that, or the second week of training mm-hmm. camp. And if there's some resolution legally, then we should have some sort of resolution from the NFL, or at least have the path cleared for that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's if they could find that out before the end of camp or the start of the regular season, I think that'd be really beneficial to them. They know they're going to be without Alvin Kamara for six games. Maybe they make a move to. Mm-hmm. Bolster the lineup behind him and go get like a starting caliber running back behind him,
right?
If they can. So I mean that's the biggest one. The next one beyond that for me is really what's going to happen to left tackle. Obviously,
yeah.
Replacing a Pro Bowl player there. They would have loved to have Teron Armstead back. They weren't going to pay him $15-16 million, whatever he's making a year from the Miami Dolphins.
Nah.
I think Trevor Penning has a chance to be really good, but I think there's also a chance that he's in kind of over his head a little bit to start. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to bring him on a little bit slower. He's making the jump from Northern Iowa to the NFL. He's not guaranteed to not face a lot of guys like Cam Jordan or Marcus Davenport at Northern Iowa. So, bring him along slowly. I think they can do that because I think James Hurst played really well at left tackle last year. I don't think they want to rely on James Hurst there, but know, they have a little bit of a luxury where they don't just have to throw him to the wolves right away. So yeah, I really want to see how he does in pads against some of these really, really good edge rushers the Saints have, and see if he can be the guy who's going to step in there and be a week one starter. Because that's, I mean, those, that position in particular, I think is really, really important. They're going to be facing a lot of great edge rushers this year. You don't want to have a guy out there that's struggling on Jameis Winston's blind side when he's coming off an ACL injury. So, I think those are the two big ones that I'm kind of keeping an eye on outside of Jameis and Mike.
Right, right. Now, when you look at the other weapons around Michael Thomas that Jameis Winston is going to have at his disposal, one of the big question marks going into camp, I'm sure, centers around the tight end position as well. Adam Trautman last year had a lot of expectations on him, didn't necessarily get up there, maybe unreasonable expectations to a certain extent. How do you feel looking at his potential transition or potential progress here heading into year three, where maybe the expectations aren't as high?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is probably going to make a lot of Saints fans angry since he's the target of their anger from a lot of their anger from last year. But I really do think that he has a chance to be a very, very good tight end.
Like, for sure.
This year. I think he dealt with a lot of stuff last year that he didn't really talk about a lot. You know, he had like an appendectomy like a week before camp started. And then that was coming like on the heels of, there's like some like growth that he had on. He gave me the medical term for it. I wrote a story about it a while back, but it's like a growth or like an abscess that he needed to have like surgically removed. Basically the story was before the season even started, like right before the season started, he had to take like a month off where he couldn't do anything. And then he got to training camp and then he got hurt in training camp.
Right.
I think the last 2 weeks. And, you know, he was kind of awful the first 5-6 weeks of the season. I think he only had like 5 catches in that whole time frame when they desperately needed playmakers and he did nothing. And then, you know, you saw him finally start settling into a groove. And as soon as he has the best game of his season, he's really having a nice game against Philadelphia. Bam. Injures his knee.
Yeah, right.
So, I get the frustration with him last year, but the Saints were the way the Saints have viewed it is like, look, we think he can be a lot better in the passing game. And even when he was struggling in the passing game, he gave us a lot of really, really consistent, strong play in the run game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a strength of his right now. And they think his passing ability, his pass catching ability can catch up.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's like, I don't think we should be saying like, or I'm not saying that he's going to be the superstar tight end. I don't think he's going to be George Kittle or Travis Kelce. But I do think he's a lot better than he showed last year. I think he's a lot closer to those flashes that we saw in his rookie season than he was last year.
Yeah.
If not, you know, I still think they have some guys there that can help him. Juwan Johnson has a full offseason now as a tight end. Mm-hmm. I think he showed some really, really nice things in that role last year. Still kind of a wait and see mode of what they're going to get out of Taysom Hill.
Right.
Still kind of dealing with all those injuries that he went through last year.
Yeah.
Still kind of coming off of those. We didn't see him at all in mini camp or OTAs. One guy who I'm kind of excited to see in pads is Lucas Kroll.
Yeah.
Undrafted rookie tight end. He's a big guy. He's like 6'6", 250. You know, he has a really, really interesting story. For those who aren't aware, he was a pitcher at the University of Arkansas. He left there. He got drafted, decided not to pursue a pro career, went to Florida to play football. And then, you know, he stuck behind Kyle Pitts. Then he transfers again to the University of Pittsburgh and really only plays 1 year there. And he was really good as a senior. He's had this weird season. He didn't get drafted and the Saints scooped him up. And I think he had a really, really nice lead up to training camp. So I want to see if he's able to kind of continue putting it together. If he does, I think he's got a shot at making the roster.
For sure. And safe to say, Chris Olave expected to be the rookie that makes the largest impact going into 2022. The outlook for him as a field stretcher, as a deep threat, but feels like he's going to be able to kind of expand that game a little bit with this New Orleans playbook.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of pegging him into that role, myself included. It's a easily identifiable thing that he can bring to the offense, right? You're looking at this offense, you're like, okay, who's the guy who's going to take the top off the defense and, you know, play a significant number of snaps? And I think you'd say it's Chris Olave or Deontay Hardy, and I think mm-hmm. they want to kind of move Deontay back to more of a every now and then role on offense mm-hmm. and focus on special teams, right? So you're saying, okay, this is a thing where I know that's some value you can bring to the offense, but I don't think he's just like, yeah, I don't think he's just a speed guy. Mm-hmm. I think the reason they drafted him was because he's very, very polished, very intelligent, and I think he's going to be able to bring a lot of different things to this offense. But
we're getting it over here, man.
I think he's going to be able to bring a lot of different things to this offense, but for now, as a rookie, I don't think he has to be the guy they lean on, just especially if Mike is what we're expecting him to be, mm-hmm. and if Jarvis Landry comes in and he shows that, you know, the kind of struggles that he went through last year were injury related, quarterback related, and not Jarvis Landry related, that he's still the same player who made 5 straight Pro Bowls and, you know, catches everything that's thrown his way. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a pretty easy to define role for Chris Olave as that field stretcher, but I think he has the potential to do so much more.
All right, family, up next with Luke, we're going to take a look over on the defensive side, which defensive players are set to be standouts and, of course, breakout candidates going into 2022. We're going to break all of that down as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about Dave, your good friend, Dave. Now, you know, a good friend is always somebody that you can go and ask for a little bit of help when you need it. That's exactly what Dave.com is here for. The Dave app is going to help you out with maybe some of those times where things get a little bit tight in the bank account. Dave is an online banking app that's going to help you get up to $500 instantly with what they call extra cash. And best of all, there's no interest, there's no credit check that's required. And there's already millions of people who have downloaded the Dave app and are using it to get the financial relief that they really couldn't get anywhere else. And that, you know what, you deserve thanks to extra cash. That's more money to help fill your tank. That's more money to help with maybe like a wedding gift or a big birthday coming up. Or if you just simply need a little bit of help with some bills as well, you can get all of that help that you need in a pinch with the Dave app. And of course, extra cash, and, you know, future you gets that little bit of favor as well. So download the Dave app today from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account so you can get up to $500 instantly. For more terms and conditions, make sure you go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply, and banking is provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Future you will thank you. Get it, Hootah Nation. We are wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with our good friend Luke Johnson from NOLA.com, here to help break down everything over the defensive side, big storylines and players to watch, including breakout candidates going into 2022. Here's Luke to help break it all down. All right, y'all, wrapping up here with Luke Johnson at by Luke Johnson on Twitter. We're trying to outrace the storm here before either one of us ends up losing power or is too close to a window. As we jump in and as we wrap up here, looking over on the defensive side, lots of new faces, new acquisitions for the New Orleans Saints. I feel like the safety spot is going to be where a lot of people are going to be paying attention. But when you look at Tyrann Mathieu, Marcus May, some people argue that was even an upgrade over Marcus Williams, Malcolm Jenkins. How do you feel about where the Saints landed, considering what they lost and where they are now at the safety spot?
I like where they're at, but I think it's going to take me a little while to say whether it was upgrade or downgrade.
Of course.
Or the same, right? Because we haven't seen these guys play well or played together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that Marcus Williams brought an element to the defense with his range that they're just not going to have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, who was that? I think it was against the...
Oh, against the Eagles.
Eagles.
Yeah.
He covered like 50 yards of ground on one play.
Yeah.
Right. It's like there's like 2 guys in the whole NFL who could do that. Right. And that's like a superb exception mm-hmm. quality that you don't know how the defense is all going to fit together when you take that one thing out.
Right.
But there are some things that Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu bring that Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams didn't. Yeah, I mean, like, let's just face it, like, Marcus Williams, it was not really a factor in the run game or anything
right.
like that, right? You know, that was just a constant flaw in his game throughout 5 years with the Saints. He, you know, no matter how many times he tried to say, it's not, that's not me, and I'm better than that, it's just like, well, yeah, but here's like seven plays from the last 3 weeks where you know you miss a tackle or whatever. So yeah, I think there's like going to be a little bit of give and take with those two. I'm really, really excited to see how they try to deploy Tyrann Mathieu and maybe some kind of unique spots. I think mm-hmm. Dennis Allen is really, really smart at taking advantage of his players' best traits. And Tyrann Mathieu is, I mean, one of the best playmaking defensive players in all of football.
Yeah.
In the last three seasons of Kansas City, he had almost as many interceptions as like all Saints safeties combined in the last 3 years.
Right.
So just see what he can do there and see, you know, if he can be a difference maker in that secondary where, you know, in a different way than Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah. And Tyrann Mathieu, of course, the top rated Madden safety in Madden 23. I know you want to know that, Luke. looking to the cornerback spot opposite Marshon Lattimore, seems like there might be a little bit of a competition there between Paulson Adebo and Alante Taylor. Saints drafting Alante Taylor in the second round. Dennis Allen being pretty clear he's going to at least get an opportunity to be, you know, that special teamer, but then also get an opportunity to compete at cornerback too. These guys have gotten along big time since they both arrived at camp. How do you see this competition playing out?
I think Paulson Debo's earned the opportunity to defend his title.
Yeah.
Right. He was really, really good as a rookie, but like, you know, this is the NFL and particularly the NFC South. There's a lot of really, really good receivers in this division. And you know, it is just like a constant need to put up or shut up.
I think that,
and I don't fault the Saints at all for getting as many players that they think are dudes there as possible.
Mm-hmm.
They brought back Bradley Roby. I think everybody, myself included, was like, Bradley Roby's probably like going to be a cap casualty this year. And they're like, no, we're going to bring him back. We're going to also use our second round pick on a corner. And we are going to have as many good players in that secondary as possible because, you know, for all they know, you know, if Paulson Adebo could have, you know, it could come back to earth after a really, really great rookie season. And then they want to make sure they have a guy out there who's going to be a stud because teams, as we know, are going to avoid Marshon Lattimore and mm-hmm. that guy is going to be picked on. They're going to be throwing at him a lot. You want to have a really, really good player there. So I think for now it's Adebo's spot, but you know, they're going to make sure that they have a really, really good player there.
Another younger guy going into what feels like a more solidified spot is Pete Werner. He's shown the New Orleans Saints something clearly because it seems that they have a lot of belief in him. So it seems like he's in for a larger role next to DeMario Davis.
Yeah, stud. Hey, he's going to play, you know, hopefully if he's healthy, all 17 games at the goal spot, barely come off the field. And they love everything about him as a player.
Awesome.
I think, you know, he's kind of one of those guys who, like, a lot of people in New Orleans know who Pete Werner is, and a lot of people up in the Ohio State area,
yep.
obviously. But like, I think a lot of people league wide are going to get a better understanding for who he is as a player this year because he's not just going to be a situational player anymore, kind of playing tag team with Quan Alexander. They're just mm-hmm. going to go out there and play, and I think he's got like all the traits you want to have in a linebacker, and going to turn some heads this year.
There's a lot of fun stuff to watch over on the defensive line as well. What's going to happen next, David Onyemata, on the defensive interior, some new faces there. But Luke, to wrap up with you, I don't ever like to leave a show without talking about at least a little bit of special teams. And I know you're a special teams appreciator with me. Just how important for you, if you can quantify it, the return of Will Lutz for this New Orleans Saints team in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, just think about how many times last year you were watching games and like Sean Payton was like, fourth and five at the 35. I have no faith in my kicker to hit a 52-yard field goal, which, like, it's 2021 in the NFL. Like, you should have faith in your kicker to kick a 50-plus-yard field goal, right? And he'd do, like, a risky go for it on fourth down or, like, punt it from his own 35, right?
Yep.
I mean, it happened. I haven't actually gone back and looked at how many times it happened, but I remember distinctly a couple times.
Quite a few, yeah, more than it should.
Right.
More than it should, even if at all.
Look, I mean, if you're Dennis Allen, you're just absolutely thrilled that you just have somebody you can have some confidence in, and that it's not just going to be a guessing game when you get down to the 30 where you're just like, should I or shouldn't I here? Should I be aggressive? You know, just trust your guy. Trust your guy to go out there and make extra points. The Saints missed more extra points last year than Will Lutz has missed in his entire career. Or like the same amount, right?
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, you like those are all meaningful points. Like having a kicker you can trust to make a 50-yard field goal is like a meaningful level of confidence for a football team.
Yeah.
So it's huge. You know, who knows? I mean, maybe they go 14-3 this year and they're, you know, blowing everybody out like it's 2018 again. But like, doubtful.
Right.
You need that guy you can count on to go win you a game or go make an extra point. I mean, it's really, really important. And for anybody who doesn't think it's important, just go back and watch 2021 season.
Yeah, sometimes winning games isn't just the game-winning field goal as the clock ticks to zero. It's the two extra points you missed earlier that puts you in a situation to where instead of you going for an extra point to win the game, you're going for two to tie it. That's exactly what happened with the Tennessee Titans game. That's one that I always point to as well. It's where you can absolutely see that value. Luke, I appreciate you as always for taking the time to jump on the show. It's always fun to chop it up with you. You can follow Luke and all of his work on Twitter at @ByLukeJohnson, of course, with the New Orleans Advocate, Times-Picayune, and NOLA.com. Luke, I'll be seeing you here again very soon. But again, man, I appreciate you so much taking time to join the show.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on, Ross.
Always a pleasure to be joined by our friend Luke Johnson from NOLA.com at @ByLukeJohnson on Twitter. Make sure you throw him a follow. He'll be coming through on the show a ton. And of course, this week we get started with training camp now on Monday, on Wednesday, getting started out there on Airline Drive. So very excited to be out there with everybody. And we're going to have a ton to look at over the course of training camp. So let's finish up our training camp primer in tomorrow's episode. What to expect from Jameis Winston in 2022. But first, we're also going to break down a little bit more why you shouldn't be worried about Michael Thomas and the new details around the expectations with Alvin Kamara. Could this case push so far back that the running back is fully available, at least for the beginning of 2022? It's a possibility. We'll break it all down in tomorrow's episode. I appreciate you as always for coming through and making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. For your second listen, make sure you go and check out that Locked On NFL podcast. All the biggest stories around the NFL in less than 30 minutes. Everything you need wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. I appreciate you as always making me a part of your routine. Remember, if you see me, say hi. And of course, for everything you need in between these episodes, you can always follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. There it is. Make sure you hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.